Ali Mosley from Sky Racing, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mido. How are you guys today?
Very well, thank you. All right. Pride of Jenny, Queen Elizabeth Stakes, Declan Bates, Kieran Maher. A lot of opinions on it. What's yours?
Oh, do we need my opinion? Everyone else has an opinion.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes in racing, there's so many opinions. I think we all have to have one. I mean, and we all have to feel like our opinion is the right one that everyone needs to hear sometimes. So being there on the day, it was really... Okay, so I don't know how to dissect this. I'll start with, it was really exciting. And I've never seen anything like it in racing. Everyone I know probably has never seen anything like it in racing and probably never will again. So that was awesome. Watching the crowd as they all just got up and roared as she kicked clear. Well, kicked clear, I guess she was getting run down late, but managed to hold on in the straight. It was really exciting for the crowd to watch from a racing perspective. it was muddled. Everyone's been pointing the finger at each other, you know, having obviously a chat to the connections of Mr. Brightside afterwards. I think Craig Williams sprunted a bit of the unfair blame for this, given that he wasn't even meant to be as close as he was. He wasn't meant to be sitting second in the run. It was just where he lobbed. He actually ran the sectionals of where they would have liked him to be had he not been eventually sitting second, I guess, if that makes sense. So it was just unfortunate that a horse that they'd always planned to drag back had ended up sitting second, leading the front pack behind Pride of Jenny, the second pack. So do you then say that someone else should have taken up the running? Should James McDonald have gone on Bea Sistina? It's just the way that the race panned out. You know, you can point fingers. I think arguably maybe Buckaroo was the one that they'd intended to send forward. it just got away from them, and I think it's how it played out, and everyone's blaming each other, but at the end of the day, Pride of Jenny pulled their pants down,
yeah,
I suppose.
Well, she did. I want to ask you this though, Al. What do you reckon would happen if the race was won again?
I
know it's a great unknown, but do you reckon they do it a little bit differently?
I think so, but then that question still is, whoever's going to go and take her on is almost the sacrificial one, you know, the bunny. So who's going to be brunted with that is the question. So maybe if Bea Sistina had gone, she certainly, and the sectionals that she ran in behind, the rest of them were off the charts. It's clear that she is by far the best horse. It just didn't map out well for her. So you could sort of rerun it a million times in your head, but ultimately you still would have needed someone to go on and take it up to her. Albeit she wasn't running that fast out in front, so it wasn't an impossible task to catch her. So look,
did I read or hear somewhere that Lindemann, I know, was scratched.
Yeah, he scratched.
But that was the horse that was possibly going to take it up to Pride of Jenny.
Yeah, that was the intention. So that the race changed complexion from that moment on. But I mean, you could go over it a million times in your head, and perhaps, you know, in hindsight, all the jockeys will say we shouldn't have let him get away with what he did, but they did, and that's what happened. That's racing, isn't it?
Ali, what did you make of Circle of Fire?
I thought he was fantastic. It was massive to win the Sydney Cup. Despite racing wide in the open throughout, he pressed on and still managed to record the second best last 600 of the race and the best last 200 of the race. Admittedly, he's done it with a light weight, but he couldn't have been any more impressive. And I was on Athabascan, so I was bemoaning him. But it was a great story. We all saw what happened when the jockey came out to visit. He was obviously really good mates with, well, more than good mates, very close with Stefano Cerchi, who passed away last week, and his family were there. And you couldn't have written the script better. It was a really nice moment. So we had, for a day that threw up some interesting results, that was probably the standout for me and a lot of people who were on course and got to see that.
Aniza was one of your tips in the Percy Sykes there on Saturday, and the Peter Moody, Catherine Coleman combination. Well, it's having a good couple of weeks, good championships, when you consider what Autumn Angel did in the Oaks as well.
It was exciting. I actually ended up going with Aniza and Autumn Angel, so I was pleased.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you tipped Autumn Angel on Friday as well, didn't you?
Yeah. So I was a little bit concerned that I'd gone both in the Moods camp and that maybe one would let us down, but they didn't. They'd both travelled up here and great order. There was a real sense of timing about both of them, and Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman are doing such a great job, and it's just exciting to see. I mean, obviously we all grew up with Moods in the Black Caviar days, and then for a great chunk of time we didn't have him around, and I think he's a really important identity for racing, and it's exciting to see him back at the races and have a chat with him when he's there. So great for Catherine Coleman. I think actually last week was only her first Group 1 winner to date, which is crazy because feels like she's been training Group 1 winners here, there and everywhere, and they've got a great strike rate and they're doing well. So Anisa was super, and Autumn Angel was obviously able to turn the tables on Zardozzi and Orchestra. I felt maybe as though just seeing Orchestra out the back, she just looked like she was maybe a little bit over it. I'm not suggesting that Roger James and Rob Wellwood had run her one too many, but there'd just been a lot on. There were a lot of people there. She was sort of a bit maybe overwhelmed with everything that was going on. So I thought it was playing into the favour of Autumn Angel, I think, from when I saw her on track.
When you saw them cross the line, Zugotcha and Artishu, who were you on?
Artishu. Yeah. she should have won.
Yeah, she should have won.
Not much else to say about that.
Yeah, it hurt.
But it hurt. Yeah, it definitely hurt. I had a little something on her, so it was a bit painful. But we got her a super mare, and a nice probably for James to ride that winner because he'd had a bit of a torrid day prior to that, of course, with Orchestral and the Assistant have both been beaten. So no doubt nice for him to get a winner on the board. But I think a few horses we can still follow out of the meeting and going forward.
And some of those are?
I think he's going to keep rolling here. Mr. Kipchoge, he covered a lot of ground from his wide gate, yet he still managed to run the third best last 200 of the day. The ex-New Zealander is progressing really well, and I think he's a Queensland Derby prospect. I don't think we've got markets out for that. I think Tim Ryan mentioned that the Queensland Carnival markets won't be out until about a week after the championship. You might know that better than I would, Middo, but as soon as the markets come out, I think we should have something on him in the Queensland Derby. He's a really nice horse, and Chris Waller said that the day he came out and won on debut here in Australia on the Kenzo. Of course, the Tissue, she was outstanding in defeat. She scorched the last 200 metres in what was the fastest of the day. Obviously, very unlucky. So we'll follow her as well. So I think a few may be coming to the end of their prep as well, so we'll have to sort of rejig the way we look at things now because a lot, of course, it was their grand final on the weekend, but a really exciting weekend of racing.
Thank you so much, Ali.
Thanks, guys.